Have you ever tried to do anything for the Lord and failed? Huh? I mean just totally failed. I don't mean, and pardon me, sister, I don't mean anything by what happened. Not just stumble, but I mean totally fall. Fall on your face. What you were trying to do that you not stumbled, but you got all the way down over it. You know what the Lord reminds me when I get in those situations? What are your motives? Come on now. What are your motives today for God? I think we need to look at ourselves this evening. We need to look at our motives and see why we're serving God. Now listen to me, folks, and I don't mean to be rude, but these are some of the things the Lord spoke to me even while I was praying in the altar before the service this evening. These are some of the things I'm going to pass on to you, and maybe they'll be a blessing and a help to you. If you're coming to church just because it's a sanctuary from the world, you're here for the wrong reasons. If you're coming to church just because, pardon me, if you're coming to church just because you're a Sunday school teacher, or just because you're a board member, or you're coming to church just because you're this and you're that in the church and you're fulfilling an obligation to the church, you're not coming to church why you should. You know what's going to happen to people like this? It's going to happen to them like it happened to Samson. Three times he mocked, he made fun of, and he told Delilah lies about his life and where his strength lay. Let me tell you, if you play around with the devil, after a while he's going to discover your wealth and your source of strength. And if it's not God, you're going to lose out with God. I just read, I believe it's in the 16th chapter of Judges. I'm not going to use this for a scripture, but the Lord brought this to my mind. I just want to relate it to you this evening. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke up out of his sleep and he said, you know what he said, don't you? I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I firmly believe this, Christian people, that there are people on pews, there are evangelists and pastors in the pulpit, that the Spirit of the Lord's departed from their life and they're actually going on past experiences. They don't have anything for the day. Now listen to me closely, and like I said, I'm not being rude, I'm not being ugly, and if you think I've been talking to your pastor, you don't know anything. I know someone that knows more than Brother Womper knows. I know the Lord, and the Lord knows much more than all of us combined here this evening. But there's going to be a day that some people are going to shake themselves in the house of God, and they're going to find that there's no glory of God in their life, and they're going to put forth an effort to do something for God, and there's going to be nothing to assist them, and they're going to find themselves in a valley full of dry bones, and there's no glory of God to touch their life. I'll preach to you this evening just like you were my people, just like you were the church that I'm pastoring. I do this at home. If you don't believe me, you call them. I can give you phone numbers. But I want you to know you are at a very critical time in your service to God and your service to this church. I've never thought I was mean. I never thought I was tough. But brother, when it comes to the things of God, I can get as honest and straight as anybody in the world. And I believe it's time that we stood in ourselves and took a reality check. Jesus told his disciples one time, he said, I'm going to tell you a parable. And in that parable, he said, two men went down to the house of God to pray. One of those men was a Pharisee. In other words, he represented the religious world. And there was another man that went also. This man was a publican. He was a sinner. This publican went and bowed before God. The Pharisee stood And he told God how good of a man that he was. He said, I fast twice a week. Not only that, Lord, I want you to know I pay tithes of everything that I have. I'm better than most people are. And he looked around over his shoulder and he said, I'm just glad I'm not like that guy kneeling over there. I'm just a little bit above him, see. This may not fit you at all. If it does, go ahead and turn it off. But that poor publican kneeling over there, the scripture said, he took his fist and he smote his own chest. And he said, I'm not even worthy to look up to you. I'm not worthy to call you Lord. And the scripture said that man went down to his house justified. That one that didn't have the attitude is the one that went down to his house justified. How many of you know there's problems in the churches today? You that won't admit it, you're mighty dumb. Pardon me. I don't mean to be crude, but you're mighty dumb if you don't know there's trouble in the churches. A young preacher called a presbyter one time. A church was opening in his section, and he was inquiring about the church, and one of his questions was, is there trouble in that church? And this knowledgeable presbyter said, brother, there's people. There's people. That's like saying where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where there's people, there's problems. I know that. Now listen to me. Look at me this evening. I've pastored churches. This is going on 37 years. I know I have that experience, but I don't have the knowledge. But I do know that every church faces problems and difficulties today. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. I promise. I'm going to even keep my coat on tonight. I'm going to settle down. I might even, before it's over, I might get behind the pulpit and stay a while. 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now listen to me. Listen to what it says. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if any two of you, that means in this church, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Listen to me, church. Jesus Christ just gave a remedy. Jesus Christ just gave the recipe for the victory for His church. If every church this evening, if every person that's experiencing problems in the church, if every person that's causing problem in the church today would follow these instructions that Jesus Christ gave, I believe there wouldn't be enough room in the altars for the people that would fill the altars today crying out to God, God help me. I don't want to be a stumbling block in the church. I don't want to be the reason that revival does not come. But God, I want to be part of the reason that revival comes to the church. I can tell you, and I know for a fact, the Lord spoke it to my heart several months ago. I know for a fact why there's not revival in the churches today, because the church is not spiritually fit for revival. Now, I'm not saying your church fits that category. Don't you get mad at me, and don't you go home and say, I'm not going back. He made me mad. I'm just telling you that the majority of Pentecostal churches today can't have revival because they are not spiritually cleansed by the power of God. I'm going to tell you this evening, that it takes a cleansing of the heart, of the mind, of the soul, and the body before Holy Ghost revival can come to the church. Please understand me. We're not fussing and fighting one moment and having revival the next. Does not work that way. Jesus Christ said, I want to give you a recipe that will bless the church, that will help my church if the church ever comes to realize. I heard this just the other day. I think Brother Wampler spoke this to me. I may add some and I may leave some out, but this is what I understood. You ever heard that? I heard it this way. What's wrong with the church today? If the church ever comes to realize, oh, I may have to pull my coat off yet. I feel a stirring. I feel a breaking of the waters beneath my feet tonight. If the church ever comes to realize what she is, if she ever recognizes that we are the church of the living God, let me tell you this evening, I may be ordained by the Assemblies of God, but years before the Assemblies of God ordained me, the Holy Ghost of God came on me and ordained me as a minister of the gospel. Can you shout with me tonight? Aren't you glad you're ordained of God tonight? It's not just the preachers that are ordained. The saints of God are ordained today. Listen, if this church ever gets awake, my Lord, if this spiritual giant ever comes awake and has ever stirred the way God wants us to stir, I'm telling you, I believe we can stand on the platform and we can say, look out, hell, look out, devil, look out, world, look out, every sinner in this community. We're going to have a revival. We're going to have church. And I'll tell you, it'll be noted all over this country what God's doing in your personal life. It's been such a long time since we've had a Holy Ghost revival. When we hear about one breaking out somewhere, we go down there and try to get the remedy for revival. We want to go down there and ask them, how did it happen? I can tell you how it happened. It didn't come through the ordinances of men. It didn't come through people talking about it. It didn't come through the fussing and the confusion, but it came through the people agreeing together. Isn't that what he said? If any two of you agree, what's going to happen? Listen, I'm telling you something. God's word's not lying to you today. God's word's not lying to you. He's telling you, if two people in this church will get before God and will say, God, we want revival in this church. We want to see souls saved. And you'll stay there. There'll be an answer that will come. God has given a recipe for the church trouble and the problems and the revival we need today. We can get open to it. Well, okay, so I'm preaching to you. Get these few things in the church that I just read to you about, and we can be like the Apostle Paul said we can be. We can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Come on, saints of God. I know this message is a little different than the ones I've been preaching. But it's important for us to know today that we do not serve a God that does the instant things. Would you shout with me on that tonight? Amen. I don't know about you. I drink coffee. I like to drink coffee. I love the taste of it. I love coffee. Somebody said you're hooked on it. Well, you just believe that if you want to. I don't think I'm. But I like coffee. For years, I drank instant coffee. And I liked it. But when I started drinking brewed coffee, it made all the difference in the world. Amen. I was talking with a young man the other day, and Pastor, is it all right if I say something about smoking cigarettes?
Be kind.
Be kind, all right. He's already accused me. If I don't slow down, he's not going to have anything to preach to Sunday morning anyway. A few years ago, I was visiting with a young man, and he was, you know, he was lighting up. And I always like to make a little comment about people that chews and smokes. And he's smoking a filter cigarette. I said, why do you smoke those things with filters on them? He kind of looked around at me and said, why are you asking? I said, why are you smoking a cigarette with a filter on it? If you want to get that junk in your lungs, won't you just smoke the real thing? Well, he said, it filters out part of the tar and the nicotine. I said, young man, that's what your lungs are crying for. Did you know that?
Amen.
And you smoke a filter cigarette, you're cheating yourself. You're buying more cigarettes than you should buy if you smoke filter cigarettes. I said, if you're going to kill yourself, do it right. Amen. Get you a pack of Camels and light them up and suck them things till you die. Come on and shout with me tonight. I'm telling you, if we would do things for God the way we do for ourselves. I've had them tell me, Brother Sheffield, I just can't quit. I say, you lying, you know it, and I know it. Amen. Listen, folks, it's time that we quit nursing ourselves in the house of God. It's time we got off of the bottle, Paul said, and we got the meat of the word and we chewed the steak. I don't know how you feel, but they tell me that there's as much protein in peanut butter as there is in a round steak. You can have all the peanut butter you want. Give me the round steak. I like the steak. I'm telling you, it's time to get to something that'll do you some good. Just let me give you a thought that just ran through my little narrow mind. Doesn't take them long to pass over. Some people are so immature in the Lord, they're not even sucking milk from the bottle. Skim milk and formula is all they're getting. God help us today. I've often said, if you're going to let the devil cheat you, there's something wrong with you. I said a while ago, if you're going to smoke, don't smoke filtered cigarettes. Amen. If you're going to chew, choose that old bad stuff that really does it. If you're going to drink, kick that beer out and get that strong stuff. I'm telling you, if you're going to die an alcoholic, have fun while you're doing it. You say, Brother Sheffield, what are you recommending? Brother, oh Lord, he's going to say for sure you ain't going to have anything to preach. What in the world are you talking about? Are you encouraging us to do these things? If you think that, you haven't got much mind as I have. I'm trying to tell you tonight that God has placed a remedy in His Word for church problems and people in the church and for revival and everything else we need in the church. And that is if we will just agree together. Can you shout with me tonight? If we'll get these little old finite minds together, if we'll get our souls saved, if we'll get ourselves baptized in the Holy Ghost today, I'll guarantee you we can agree. We can agree. I know you heard that story about the people who want to buy the chandelier for the church, you know. That old grouchy deacon board member said, I don't want it. I don't want it. Brother Wise, you don't want one. He says, nobody in church can play one. See, didn't even know what he was against. To buy a chandelier that hangs from the ceiling. And he was against it because nobody could play it. I believe I'd have told him, I'll pay for your lessons if you'll learn to play the stupid thing. I'm going to get this point home to you if I have to keep you here all night long. Amen. I'll have Brother Wompter to lock the door, but we're going to understand before we leave here tonight, God has a remedy, and it's in the Word of God. I read you the remedy for the church problems and the difficulties and for revival in the church, and I'll guarantee you, and if it doesn't work, I'll give you my phone number, and you can call me up, and I'll pray with you till it does work. But if we'll agree together, if we'll get together in our praying, if we'll get together in our asking, if we'll get one mind and one accord, things will happen in the church. I was praying not long ago in the church, and the Lord spoke to me, get ready for some pruning in the church. I said, oh, no. God, I don't like you pruning. I don't know about you, but I know what pruning is. We were pastoring in Coolidge, Arizona, and we had some of those fruitless mulberries out there in the front, and they'd just grown and got out of shape. They're the ugliest looking things that you ever saw. This little old guy in our church, he's about 5'3" or 5'4", and he is just almost as round as he was tall. And he said, I'll come down to the parsonage in the morning, and Brother Sheffield, and I'll trim those trees. I said, okay, that sounds good to me, brother. So here he comes in a little pickup and got his ladder out and his saw out. And brother, he made hash out of those trees. Oh, I thought to myself, God stop him. God stop him. He's ruining it. He's ruining it. He's ruining those trees. I'm telling you, by the time he got through, they wasn't nothing but big old stubs sticking out. Wasn't a place for anything. And I thought to myself, God, does he know what he's doing to the trees in this yard? But you know what happened the next spring? He knew what he was doing. Amen. The pruning took place. And the next spring, those things bushed out. The best shade that was ever in that yard was there. Why? Because the man knew what to prune. Can you shout with me tonight? I'm telling you, when God says, I've got a pruning time coming, he's not trying to kill the church. He's trying to get it in shape where he can move. And you get mad at me and leave, and I'll say, well, God just pruned you. I said, God, I know what pruning time means, and I don't like what you're saying to me. You know, God doesn't have to answer me. And he didn't. He didn't say a word to me. He only told me, you get ready, it's going to be pruning time in your church. We've been praying for revival. We've been praying for Holy Ghost revival. We're beginning to see a move of God. I'm telling you, it didn't start overnight. Huh? It didn't start overnight. But we're praying and God's beginning to move. God's beginning to do things. My worship leader called me, or I called him checking on him. He'd been sick. I called him and wanted to know how they were feeling. Well, he said, feeling better. He said, Brother Sheffield, I need to talk to you this evening. This is Sunday afternoon. He said, can I talk to you about 5 o'clock? I said, sure. I usually get out the church about 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, 4:30. So I went out there and I was sitting in there, and here come my music, you know, my worship leader and guy that I was leaning real heavy on. He come in and sat down at me, looked across my desk at me and said, Brother Sheffield, I guess we'll be moving on. You know what I heard in my spirit? Pruning time. You know what he and his wife were? She's a musician. He leads the worship service. They both taught Sunday school classes. And then the wham bam, I'm out. I don't have anyone there to lead. I don't have anyone to teach. He didn't give me 2 weeks' notice. He gave me 3 seconds' notice. And brother, it's over with. We're down. We're gone. Not only that, some of the biggest supporters financially in our church. And the devil said, what are you going to do now? Sad to say, but I'm going to wait for some more pruning if that's what God wants to do. See, God gave me the remedy. If you'll just get in these altars and agree together, just two of you. Thank God there's more than two still. Hey, I hope it don't get down to me and my wife, but it's possible, I know that. But if just two of us agree together, he said, I'm going to be there in the midst of you. Thank God. I'm telling you, you can have all the fancy Dans and the slick willies you want in the church. God, give us saints of God that know how to pray and know how to ask God for revival and know how to pay the price for revival and stay, brother, when the winter winds are blowing, when the summer's hot, they're here and they're ready to shout, they're ready to do God's work, they're not fussing, they're not complaining, but they're saying, brother, what's the next step for revival? Hallelujah. thought somebody would want to run by now. I'm not going to offer you a quarter to shout tonight. You should have shouted last night. You say, I ain't heard any shouting sound. Well, we're not through either. What did Jesus say? Whatever you bind on earth, he said, I'll bind it in heaven by the authority of heaven. I'll bind it. Isn't that what he said? Sorry, folks, I'm going to have to go back on my word. Don't tell me that. My wife told me I had 5 minutes left. Well, this last 5 minutes I can cool down then, maybe. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Listen to me, church. You've got to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you don't have to put up with, you don't have to tolerate things in the church. You know what I found about people in the church that are always kicking and griping? Don't say anything rude or mean to them. One of the men that I pastored in church one time, and Brother Gregory, bless his heart, he was our Sunday school superintendent. I preached a message one morning, and he walked back and shook my hand. He said, Brother Sheffield, that's good preaching, but I don't agree with you. I said, that's fine. That's your privilege, my brother. You don't have to agree with what I say, but when it comes from God's word, he said, whatever you bind here, I'm going to bind up there. And whatever you loose here, I'm going to loose up there. Did you realize that? If you bind it, if you're what's binding today, I'll tell you the church needs to get together and say, God, save them or do something with them. Come on, shout with me today. I know, you pardon me, but I know that there's people that think the church can't go without them, but I want you to know it can. I was pretty young in the Lord pastoring the church one time. The secretary came to me, and we were doing a little old thing, and I was kind of enjoying the job I had. All I had to do was sit and take the money, you know, when people come in. Having a little banquet of some kind, it cost them so much to get in the door. You know, we kind of like the world. We like to charge them to get in sometimes. We were charging them for their meal, and I told this lady, I said, you know, I kind of like this job. I kind of like this place pretty good. And she looked at me down her nose, you know, and that old wrinkled forehead. She said, I want you to know this church can run without you. I said, praise God, and it probably will. It'll be going when I'm gone, and I'm gone, and it's still going. Amen. She's still in the church. Maybe she was right. I don't know. Maybe I needed to get out of there. But I'm here to tell you today that if we'll bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, the people will either get saved or God will put them some other church. Am I being ugly? The scripture said they'll know the truth and the truth. Well, what? Dave Reaver said they'll know the truth and the truth will make them mad. Sometimes it does that. Sometimes we get bound in ourselves, bound by the working of the spirit of the enemy, and we don't even know what's going on. We become passive. Have you ever felt that way in church? I'm going to go to church tonight. It's going to be the same old 6 and 7. We're going to see your child in Psalms 23. We're going to sing just 3 songs, and we're going to pray in the altar. We're going to go home. You know what I tell people when they say that? You sure are. That's all you're going to get out of it. You put a nickel in, you get a nickel's worth of goods. my brother, I better back off there. Jesus gave us authority that whatever opposes the church is subject to you and I. Did you know it's subject to how we pray? There's another scripture that I can shout on every time I think about it or read it. And he said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now listen to me, folks. I've seen it get started, and I've seen them when they really got things going against the church, against the deacons, against the pastor, against the song leader, against the Sunday school superintendent. I've seen it really go for a little while. But after a while, I've seen God turn that weapon around and use it the other way. And God's doing in this hour. I'm telling you, God's going to have a glorious church. Jesus said, I'm coming back after a glorious church without a spot and without a wrinkle. I'm here to tell you, if you're a spot or you're a wrinkle in the church, you're not going to go when Jesus comes. Amen. Well, I almost knew you wouldn't shout. Glory to God. You know, there's an expression in the world, and that's having your ducks in a row. You ever heard somebody say that? He got all of his ducks in a row. Had one man to tell a friend of mine one time. Said, I'll guarantee you about old Sheffield, he's got his ducks in a row. I said, you go tell him I don't even have any ducks to get in a row. Amen. I don't have anything. I have nothing, you see. I'm no one. I realize that. I'm not standing here preaching to you this evening from a pious position. I know that what I say and what I do in God and in this pulpit, I'm going to answer to God for someday. That's why I say what I say, and the way that I say it is because I know you need to hear it today, and you need to realize that Jesus said, I'm going to give you the recipe for the church, and that is if you'll get together and you'll get my name and you'll forget what you want in the church. You'll forget how you want to build. You'll forget who you want to lead singing. And you'll get up there and just give it everything you got. Listen to me. If they never ask you to sing another special song, you better sing Amazing Grace and shout when you need to shout. I remember when we used to have to almost recruit people to sing specials. Now we have to weed them out. I never saw so many people want to get in the pulpit in my life. Listen to it. Did you know there's more talent on this side of the pulpit than there ever will be on that side? Boy, that kicked somebody's cow. As sacred as it may be. I'm telling you, before the Spirit will work in the church, Jesus said that if any two agree together on earth as touching any one thing, we're going to have to agree. We're going to have to agree. I'm telling you, the only way the Holy Ghost came, you know how the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost? The Scripture said they were in that upper room and they were of one mind and they were of one accord. And when they got there after 10 days, it took them to get there in one mind and one accord. Suddenly, thank God, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Isn't that what the Scripture said? Filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to know that God stayed faithful to His promise. It took them 10 days to get where they could be baptized, but when they got there, the Holy Ghost arrived. I've heard people say, Sister Wampler, we're just waiting for revival in our church. We're waiting on God. Well, that's half of it. That's half of it. The other half is you have to do something before you start waiting. You've got to pray. Amen. Amen. I always thought to myself, it's going to be a marvelous thing when churches and pastors and evangelists realize that revival doesn't come through who you bring in for revival, but it comes through who you pray in. I'm preaching on overtime now. I'm drawing time and a half. Amen. You didn't know that, did you? No wonder it's hard for Parish Sheffield to get things done in church. We're not agreeing. And I'm not saying all the problem is from the pews. Don't get me wrong. There's been a few times that I got lined out in church that I needed to be lined out. I mean that. They said some things that really rung my bell. And I got in the altar, my brother, and I prayed through, and revival began to sweep our church. It'll work in this church. How many know that? It'll work in this church if we'll just let it. The early church was success due to the spirit of agreement that was among everyone. You know what's so marvelous? The scripture said that they had all things common. They had all things common. If someone in the church didn't have anything to eat, they took them something to eat. Their neighbors did. Huh? Somebody said, well, we're waiting on the pastor to orchestrate this deal. Don't you do that. I'm not telling you to bypass his authority by any means. I'm telling you we need to pray. You do not know who comes to this church and has needs in their life and in their spirit. And we go home fed in our spirit. We'll go home and eat a good meal and somebody won't be able to. We don't have all things common. That's our problem today. We feathered our own nest, so to speak. Are you tired yet? Are you sleepy yet? You want the move of the Spirit of God? You want revival? Follow the formula that Jesus left. A God-given formula. There's a man that attends our church that's retired now. This man's name is Patillo. To look at Brother Patillo, you would not think that he's a very smart man, very intelligent man. He wrote the recipe for Bluebell ice cream years back. He don't brag about it. He don't tell you that. But this man, if you saw him sitting on the pew, you'd say, there's a dumb old hillbilly that don't know sikkim from come here. But you start visiting with that old gentleman and stuff starts flowing out of him that'll enrich your life. He'll say things that you will not forget. And you'll step back like I did and say, oh, what's in this old gentleman? He's in his 70s, see. This was long before you had to have the education that you have to have today. He got his education. Listen, folks, when we start saying they can't, they can't, they can't, we better watch out. They can through the anointing of God. How many of you believe, and I want to see your hand, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on, get your hand. Let me see it. I can do all things. And if you don't think you can, you're going to be sitting back there while there's revival in the church and people are going to be shouting everywhere. And you're going to wonder, why is it that I'm not shouting? It's because you don't believe in it. You know, the devil will tell you that divine healing's not for today, but I'm telling you it is. I told you the other night about our daughter being healed. My wife said, would you please tell them what she was healed of? She had a stroke. She had a stroke. And she was dying from that stroke. And God healed her. Her blood pressure for over 2 years had run outrageous, and they couldn't get her blood pressure down. We prayed for her, and I think the next Monday morning or the next morning, she went to the doctor, and her blood pressure is 140 over 80. You know what I got to do? I got to walk around in front of my church over there in Gunner Assembly of God, and I said, devil, what do you think about 140 over 80? Amen. What do you think about 140 over 80? Amen. I got to rub it in real good. I believe in doing it, amen. I believe in telling the devil, I'm kicking you, and you just well to lay still. I'm going to put my foot on your neck. Hallelujah. Brother, there's going to be revival in the church. I don't care how many people doubt it, how many people fight it. There's going to be revival, and if you don't get in, you're going to die in yourself. I can almost hear somebody saying, I wish he'd shut up. Isn't it marvelous how we come to church and we worship God, and all the different personalities gets mixed together in this big mixing pot of the Spirit of God. And after a while, there's no personalities at all, that we've all taken on the personality of Christ. And that personality of Christ shines through. And Paul said, the things I once loved I now hate, and the things I once hated I now love. What I used to be, I'm not anymore. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. I'm trying to close. If you slip back into that person that you once were, if you look at yourself and say, God, I'm exactly what you saved me from, it's time that you get back in the altar and get re-saved, re-baptized in the Holy Ghost, and start praying and agreeing together and say, God, we can have revival in this place. Bow your head with me. Father. Father of heaven, help us today. Oh, God. Oh, God. Father, I ask of you tonight, if there's people in this congregation, if there's people in this crowd here this evening that have let themselves slip back into what they once were, that they are not what they once were spiritually, but they've become that old man again. I ask you, Spirit of God, let conviction fall on them this very moment that they can't leave this place until they repent in the name of Jesus Christ, until they're promoted back where they once were in the Holy Ghost of God today. Do it now in the name of Jesus. Do it now in the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would play the piano or the organ. Can you do that? Play Just As I Am. Could you play that, please? I want you to keep your head bowed in reverence to God. People that come to church at one time shouted in the aisles of the church, and they can't even bow their heads and seek God anymore. Now you listen to what I'm saying. The scripture said, he that is often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy, that without explanation. You'll just go out. If you have found yourself slip into that old person that you once were, you were to the point that you were like Samson. You didn't even know the Spirit of God had departed. But tonight you've been made to realize, I'm a hard person anymore. I didn't used to be this way. I didn't used to be so disagreeable. But I've become that person, and I don't like the person that I've become. Nothing is going to help you until you get back in the altar and repent and let the Lord change your life again. I don't care what's on your agenda. I want you to get it off your agenda tonight. And if you're that person, that you've become that person you were, and you don't like yourself, I challenge you to be the man or woman or boy or girl that you should be. Come in the altar and kneel and ask God to forgive you and God to help you. And He will tonight. Come on, you're going to have to move quick. God's moving. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking right now. No, I'm not going to count 1, 2, 3, and on three you come. I don't believe in that. I believe the Spirit of the Lord's moving right now, and you know what you need to do in the Lord. And I'm challenging you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to get up out of your seat and come on up here. You say, Brother Sheffield, some have already come, but this is not all. There's others that need to come this evening. Make that move in the Lord very quickly, would you? Praise God. Lord, I want to be what I used to be in you. I want to be what I used to be in the church. I want to be used of God the way I used to be used of God. Come on, slip out very quickly. Come on right now in the name of the Lord. Take your stand. Make your move right now in the Lord. Would you do it?